everybody, and welcome back to Professor and Squeaky. This is our seventh episode, and I am excited to bring forth to you today's topic. Today, we are going to talk about finding the right one. Where should I go to find that right partner? Should I go to clubs? Should I go to bars? Do I need to look into online dating? Or in most cases, sometimes the person comes right up to you. So Professor, go ahead and give me your intake of what we should do.
Well, if I look at generational things, since I've seen it through the years, at my time, first of all, if you didn't find somebody in high school, you were probably gonna not be locating anybody in the very near future. So they would go to clubs, and that would mean like social clubs. They would go to bars, depending on what their interests were. Many times they go to sports activities. Again, we're talking about this is how it used to be. Now there's been a change and a shift where people are looking for somebody online. Since there's less and less social interaction in person, you'd be very fortunate if you could find anybody that a family member introduced you to, or an acquaintance, a best friend. But today, we have to look at what is online. Now, Squeaky, we were talking about how you might want to use investigative tools.
Oh, absolutely. I say if you find someone that you're interested in, you know, because some people go to Facebook or, you know, different things. Some people just bump into each other and then they find that they have some common ground that they can build a relationship on. But definitely do your investigation. I mean, people, they put their information out there on social media, everything. And then they don't just check one account, check them all, because they generally there's a mistake somewhere that they forgot to do. And you can pretty much, you know, find out a lot of things, whether they're married in six different countries or have 12 different kids from all over the world. You know, there's so many possibilities, but definitely do your inquiry on that individual.
You would also look at type of music they listen to. Now, I'm very much against the pop music. It gives suggestive thoughts, which will actually cause you to react after you've been programmed enough. So pay attention to the music that you listen to. Now, if you're looking for somebody online, go into all their pictures, see what they're about. Sometimes I get some random man who's wanting to get to know me, and I click and look at the profile and realize they're just twisted. Their postings are not anything that I would want in my life or to deal with. Men and women are getting into pornography very easily online. So you're going to want to look at what activities, what do they view online? What's their favorite TV or movies? Look at all these things and ask yourself, is this something you want to deal with? Because once you get married to someone, the honeymoon's over in 6 months, and then you find
sometimes
out what
less.
You did.
Yeah, sometimes less.
True, sometimes a lot less. I know of people who've gotten married and realized after a few days that was a huge mistake. It's because they didn't do their due diligence to investigate their future. I'm going to go even to say, do a background check, a criminal background check. Yeah. See whether this person is involved with the law. Are they on probation? Are they on parole? If they did commit a crime, what type of crime did they commit? Now, people can change depending on who they interact with. If the same old buddies gave you the drugs before you went to prison and you're back in contact with them when you came out, then you better realize that is not going to change. That's behavioral that is not just going to vanish. So many times women think that, you know, these guys, they weren't at fault. I can reassure you that in most cases, these people are guilty of the crime. But don't just take a person and go, well, I'm sure they got it right. No, establish their history. What and who are they interacting with? If you see girls, especially young girls, that this guy's got a lay of money out there and he's got drugs and guns and all of these gang signs, you're not going to want to be involved in that. Otherwise, you're going to be facing a lot of heartache. And when they get sentenced to life or whatever the period of time is be, that means you're going to be without a companion. How are you going to handle that? Mm-hmm. So when you're looking for that special person to spend your life with, start with the basics. Do not just say, oh, they're good looking. You know, this person who is generally very attractive and good looking, and I think you mentioned it in another broadcast about how much time they spend in the mirror. If that person's being made up excessively, then you have to question what their insecurities are. If we look at it in all reality, the television puts out women are supposed to look a specific way and have the makeup on and all of this kind of stuff. But as you age, you get your gobble gobble chin and you get your crow's feet. And you have to ask yourself, are these things I want to have a nip and tuck at? For me, the answer is no. I'm going to age gracefully. And although I think my hands are the things that trouble me the most, it's not going to be something I go have skin removed, surgeries on. So think about how superficial the individual is. Ladies, if your husband cannot go out that door, or let me say pre-marriage, they're so busy putting gel on their hair and styling and all this kind of stuff. Here's a newsflash for you. They're gonna go bald. There's not many people that keep their hair as they age. So then you're gonna wake up one day and find out that all that gel that they put on their head and kill the cells on the scalp, okay, now they're bald. How do you feel about baldness? How do you feel about people who are overweight? Because we gain weight with age. We can say we're not as active. So looking at your possibilities, if you say, oh, I'm into exercise, and you exercise once a month, you're not into exercise. So be honest and forthright with the person you're getting acquainted with. But before making that approach, look up what they're about. When I was growing up, it was that the guy had to have money, had to have a fast car, and had to have a great job. If they didn't have those three things, then not interested. Time changed. Society changed. And now we're looking at a lot of men who are stay-at-home dads, and the women are going to work. So I'm going to throw this out at you guys. How do you feel that that should be handled? Voila. Are you going to want to go out and make the living and have your husband stay at home, watch the children cook the meals, run the errands, while you're a career girl?
Actually, I think marriage is a two-way street. I mean, I'm not married, not dating anybody, but I think it's...
That's her newsflash. She's interested in the future. Okay, go ahead.
But I personally think, I mean, if the guy feels like he wants to stay at home and be that stay-at-home dad, or, you know, be the cook in the family, then I think, as Stacy said, the woman should come back and cook. It doesn't, I mean, clean or anything like that. It doesn't matter who is taking the responsibility of that or anything like that, but it should always be two, not one person do all of it and the other one, oh, I've come home tired and I don't want to do nothing. I don't think that's how a relationship or a marriage should be. What about you, Stacy?
I was still pondering thought. It depended to me, it really depends on the circumstance. If some mothers are not motherly,
then don't have children.
So it depends on the circumstance. It depends on whether that husband, something happened in his life that he can't go back to work, and that's what he... So it really, I'm kind of a 50-50 on that. So I know that the child needs his mother. I do know that. And that, you know, we all depended upon the men, as women, dependent upon the men to bring in the income. So I think it really depends on the circumstance and all the particulars that's in the whole thing.
I'm going to go a step further. When I married my second husband, we had a great thing. We would cook together. And if for some reason I got a jump start, especially after he started getting ill, he would come in and clean and wash the dishes and make sure everything was straightened up. I'm talking about immaculately. So to me, that worked out really good. I did the cooking, he did the cleaning. And many times, this mentality that the man goes to work, comes home, on his days off, does zip, is nothing but sheer laziness and a lack of concern for the woman. And I resent being the one to carry the load when it was your dirty clothes, it's your garbage that I'm running around picking up. You see, these are deal breakers to me. My husband, Carl, when we would get ready to go on a trip, he would go in and pack everything while I finished up the business aspect of things. And with my position, I would generally have some things I had to take care of before we left. So when he'd come to me and he'd say, "Sweetheart, everything's ready to go," I would say, "Did you get this?" And he goes, "Yes, ma'am, I did. Did you get that?" "I sure did. And I got this and this." And I think this man is so efficient. It's amazing how much of a load he took off of me. And because of how he treated me, it made me want to be with him intimately all the time. So these factors do play a part. So men, listen to me. It's not just your job to go make the money, but what are you doing to care for the home in general? Not just bring home the bacon. I mean, my first husband, he was amazing also when it came to sharing responsibilities. Robbie would go in and he would straighten up the house with me. He'd see me starting to clean up and he would start picking things up and sweeping. And then when it came to laundry, we had a special workout on that. I'd say our children were young, and instead of taking them down and fighting with them in the laundry room, I would simply say, "I'm gonna go get the laundry done." He said, "We got you covered." When I came back, I would lay my clothes on the laundry basket, so all you had to do is put the hangers in, or whatever fold-up clothes would get done. And my boys learned from an early age to be responsible for their own clothing. So I would get it in and my husband would say, "Honey, you've done your part. Now me and the boys will do ours." And it was amazing because I can remember the sock fights. And they would get to one place of folding clothes and putting them on the hangers and everything. They'd get down to the socks and underwear. And it was gonna be bombs away. And they're gonna do this like for a while. And then I had to kind of dodge if I went through the room and they'd be so busy laughing. My boys grew up realizing that they had to take care of their own clothing. When they reached a certain age and they were able to start to cook and help in the kitchen, I put them on a step stool and began to work with them on knowing how to cook. They were learning how to clean and not to be a slob. How can you men say you love your woman but not assist her in any capacity when it comes to paying the bills, cleaning the house, organizing anything, that you're always the one who says, "Where's my hat? Has anybody seen my wallet?" Come on, grow up. It's your wallet, it's your hat, it's your belt, it's your stuff. Don't put an extra burden on that woman to have to take care of everything that you aren't responsible enough to handle. I don't care how old you are, grow up. Take responsibility for your own junk. My grandmother raised three boys. And from the time they were little, grandma taught them how to cook and how to clean. She told me the reason she did that was she knew that there was going to be times their wives would not be available and that they'd have to take care of the children. All three of her boys became excellent, excellent cooks. Dad lacked a little bit in picking up after himself, but Mama broke him of that. He could always take his dirty clothes off, but he could never hit the hamper. Mom would always come in, gather it up, put it in the hamper. She got just totally fed up. So she thought she's just gonna let those clothes sit there. If he could get them in the hamper, she would wash them. And they sit there and sit there and sit there. And then he ran out of clothes. And he was calling my mom, "Leona, where are my clothes?" And she said, "Where did you put them?" "Well, they're not clean." She goes, "Where did you put them?" And she said, "I've told you if you wanted them washed, put them inside the laundry basket." Guess what? My dad started picking up his own clothes off the floor and didn't just drop them anywhere. Nobody wants to live in filthy, absolute nasty situation. Well, as you know, we're keeping these podcasts at about 15, 15 minutes. So we're going to get ready to go into our next one. Is there anything that you want to conclude in this, Joy?
Well, this has been very informative, and I just want to thank you, Professor Squeaky, Stephanie, and I hope y'all take something and glean from this, because we all need that little bit of wisdom that our older generation can give us. I just want to thank you once again, and we are signing off, and we'll see you next time.